Good morning, one and all. Thank you, Lord. And again, we are in 1 Samuel 10, 6 as the springboard for our consideration. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man. This morning, we continue with our deliberation on the indwelling blessing of the Holy Spirit. Spending time in the consideration of what it means within the depths of our relationship with God. He is the Almighty, and to know that we have the working power of the eternal Godhead invested in us. He has come to abide within us through the omnipotence and the omnipresence and the omniscience of His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. To know this reality is to seek to understand why our lives and hearts and our minds need to be changed through His ministry. He works in the course of bringing forth that death to self for the more perfect life of Christ to emanate unto others from the very wellsprings of God's indwelling presence. Okay. We have been devoting our time together in what God is working toward through the great gift of our baptism in the Holy Spirit. What is there that is so special and so necessary for the course of our walk together in Christ as fellow believers and as fellow partakers of this great gift of God to His beloved children? We will pick up with the encouragement and the enlightenment that is offered to us by the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, 26 and 27. Herein, the Apostle reveals the fact that we cannot live without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We do not know how to do anything apart from His guidance and His encouragement and His teaching and His wonderful work and His intercession on our behalf. We are weak in the essence of our mortal bodies. We do not know how to live in the Spirit unless we are so taught of and by Him. As a result, even the manner of our prayers is subject to the manifest wisdom and power and voice of the Holy Spirit being in us. He is the means of the expression unto that which needs to be brought forth from the depths of our innermost essence. His words are the prayers that we express forth under the throne of the Almighty, awesome, holy, and righteous Lord God, our Heavenly Father. Romans 26 and 27. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This passage highlights several aspects that we need to consider. We will not be able to fully exhaust all the intricacies that are invested in this, but we do want to proceed with a basic understanding and declaration of what this indwelling purpose of God is in us. We desire to come to some realization of what God has expressed from His unto us as the means of our more perfect and honoring testimony of Him. This will be in evidence in our incorporation as we are being built into the living church of God on this earth. We can see that the Holy Spirit is our source of knowledge in terms of how, when, where, and about whom we are to pray. There are so many times within the course of the day that we all have those beloved who come to mind, whom we lift up in earnest prayer simply because the Holy Spirit makes it known that we need to lift them up. We may not know the reason why. We just know from the depths of our love that we must pray for this person or that person right then and there. Oftentimes, this may be through the course of a prayer request. Then, there are those moments when it is just that the Holy Spirit makes known that we need to hold up a fellow saint with all the love of our beings. We may have some sense that they are going through a rough time. Then again, we may not have any idea of the need other than that they are brought to our minds, and we just know that we must utter the prayer for the Lord to manifest His grace and His mercy and His loving kindness upon this beloved one. As well, there are those times at which the Holy Spirit may impress upon us the necessity to pray for someone about whom we know nothing at all, not even their name. Maybe we are urged to fall on our knees and pray for those missionaries who are in service of the Lord. Maybe it is the call to lift up those prisoners around this globe whose lives are on the line because they refuse to deny the truth of Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected, and glorified. Maybe it is a group of believers who are facing trial or persecution about which all we know is that the Holy Spirit is urging forth the ministry of prayer on their behalf in our hearts and our minds, all through the manifestation of our spiritual, Spirit-led voices and cries unto God. This too is the ministry of prayer as brought forth by the Holy Spirit within those who are willing to lay down everything to serve the body as those prayer warriors. We are built into those staunch defenders of the faith in standing forth before the entirety of creation in the unshakable knowledge that God is the sovereign over all. These are but some realities of the ministry of the indwelling Holy Spirit. He causes our hearts and our minds and our voices to give forth those utterances of prayers on the behalf of our brothers and sisters who are in such need of His hand of operation in their lives and in their immediate circumstances. As well, we can approach this from the sense of how the Holy Spirit ministers in each of our personal situations. There are those times when we are in distress and anguish and we just do not know what or how to pray. We do not have any idea of which direction to go and how to deal with those elements of our physical walk on this earth. God alone knows the manner in which we are to turn and proceed in our trust in Him as both our Savior and as our Lord. The manner of His Lordship brings us to our knees throughout the course of our lives. Only because of the Holy Spirit can we face things that would otherwise overwhelm and defeat the bravest and the strongest and the most self-reliant of people. Of ourselves, we are completely dumbfounded in terms of which way to turn. We do not even know what we need to get through the fiery ordeal of our stony hearts being pulverized into malleable lumps of flesh unto the Lord. Many times, these trials and tribulations are self-inflicted as we try to fight against the Lord and His work of bringing us to the end of ourselves. At other times, they are the fast-flung missiles of doubt and fear and suspicion and jealousy as the Lord is working to wash away all the impurities of our old nature. No matter what the cause, we know the effect is that God will prove Himself mighty and all-sufficient to do that which is absolutely necessary in His working omnipotence and omniscience in us. Yet despite that knowledge, as the working is proceeding forth, we are under the undeniable ministry of the Holy Spirit to cause us to cry out unto the Lord with all our heart and our entire mind and all our being. We have no clue what to say except, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The only way we can pray this is as the Holy Spirit causes us to voice the desire that the Lord will accomplish His good work in us no matter what the cost, no matter what the road necessary to be traveled, no matter how painful or difficult or emotionally draining. Through it all, we cling to the ministry of the Holy Spirit as He gives forth His utterances of the desire of our heart to so come to the end of ourselves. This is in order that the glory of the Lord would be accomplished in these lives that we have freely surrendered unto Him. That is a prayer that we cannot utter unless it is so directed from the depths of our beings by the urging and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. All of Thee and none of me. Then there are those times when we are in travail for a loved one, maybe a spouse, a child, a parent, a sibling, or some other member of our family, or a friend who is going through hell in their lives. They are utterly devoid of any measure of how to take another step forward. They are in desperate need of the intervention of an act of God in order to survive the desperate, tumultuous course of their lives. We find ourselves on our knees for their behalf without any knowledge of what to pray. We want the best for them, but we do not want to interfere with what the Lord is doing in their lives. Therefore, while we may want to pray for them to get relief, the Holy Spirit within us is urging us to pray for them to bear through to the awful but necessary coming to the end of their struggle in themselves. We find ourselves praying that the Lord would not relent in the course of His hand of holiness and righteousness and salvation to bring them to the point at which they have no other option but to cry out to God themselves for the release of their terrible and crippling misery. We cannot voice this prayer unless it is so presented in the powerfully working grace and mercy and love of the Holy Spirit within us for their benefit. We have that divine urging to pray that they would come into that living relationship with the Lord God Almighty as the means of their growth into Christ Jesus, whatever it takes. This is not something that the natural man will voice or accept as the only expression of the true love and care and dedicated surrender of our hearts unto the Lord for the eternal profit of such a loved one. We beseech God to take His holy wrath and His righteous indignation out upon us instead of them, if it would so work to their eternal salvation. This is the heart that is attuned to the movement of the Holy Spirit within us, as was the Apostle Paul in his urgent and manifold prayer for his fellow Jews. There was that ministry of the Holy Spirit in which the apostle could proclaim that which the Holy Spirit so ordained in Romans 9, 1 through 5. He was so prompted to declare that he willing to lay aside his own salvation if it would so bring forth that salvation of his Israelite kinsmen. Romans 9, 1 through 5. I am telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the temple service, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and from whom is the Christ, according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. It is the Holy Spirit who so prompts us to desire to speak forth any truth, to set aside any privilege, to lay down our lives and salvation, if it were at all possible, for those whom we so dearly and earnestly love with all our hearts. We cry out to the Lord from the very depths of our being, with the desire for them to come to know Him as we so know and love Him. That is through whatever we would have to suffer for the sake of their redemption and their glorification in Jesus Christ. Our ultimate desire is that it will all bring glory to God. This then leads to the last reality that we will consider this morning. It is contained in the phrase, "For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." There are those times in the course of our walk on this earth when we find ourselves earnestly crying out to God in the heavenly language which we do not understand. We may have the sense of what type of vocalization may be coming forth from our lips, but not what the actual words are expressing. As an example, when we are in worship, praising the Lord, singing those songs of adoration and glorification, there may well up and be expressed those utterances of extolment and adulation unto God which just spring forth from us. The vocabulary is not familiar in the sense of a language with which we are versed, but the worshipful reality of them fills our minds and our hearts. Our spirits are leaping for joy in the Lord. We are set in the realization that we are being led by the Holy Spirit in the manner in which we are praising and adoring and extolling the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in a language of the angelic hosts. Then, that same aspect of the use of that heavenly language can also be evidenced in those times of deepest despair and anguish. It is often in those periods that we find ourselves speaking forth the divine vocabulary that carries the sorrow and the affliction of our souls and our spirits before the throne of God's grace. Again, we have no idea of exactly what we are voicing. We just know that our hearts and our souls are being bared before the omnipotence and the omniscience and the omnipresence of God. We are giving expression to the abject helplessness of mankind to do anything but throw ourselves on the mercy and the grace and the love and the sovereignty of God. We are often changed in those times of utter helplessness into a people who know that if God does not intervene, we are lost and without any other place to turn. Either God will save us or we will perish. That is the whole spirit that is conveyed within the wording of that heavenly vocabulary so uttered from the depths of our beings. Through all these considerations of what is entailed intervention of the Holy Spirit's ministry of prayer within the people of God, there is that complete knowledge that God is the one who is at work. He is speaking forth that word from which all has come into being that now exists. He is the one who meets the every need of our prayerful sacrifice offerings unto Him. As He guides and as He directs even the very words that we utter, we have that complete assurance that He is at work. He is accomplishing His so great and excellent blessing within the people whom He has redeemed unto Himself. So be it, and amen.